We're going to look at the life of Gladys Aylward a little bit more detail in a moment, but I want to read to you from the book of Corinthians a few verses that I think really sum up her life and experience. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says this: "I have laboured and toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of all the things that show my weakness." And then over in chapter 12, this verse that we know so well: "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." I think if there's a few verses that sum up the life of Gladys Aylward, those verses would. So, let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you that we get the opportunity to learn from those who have gone before, who have left an imprint on history, but also an imprint on the hearts of people. And so this morning, may we just glean a few things from the life of this wonderful woman who served you faithfully. And may some of the things really impact our hearts, so that it's not just biographical, it's not just an information about someone. It's you actually speaking to us through her life and her experience. Amen. I want to just state again that in looking at this series that we're calling History Makers Part 2, that I'm not putting more authority on the life of people, but we are learning from the experiences and the journey that some people have gone through, what it means to be God's people. So today we're looking at Gladys Aylward, and I've called her God's pocket rocket, because she was small in stature, but she was big in heart. And Gladys Aylward was born in 1902. She passed away in 1970, age 68. She always wanted to be an actor. She could speak well and she could act. And her desire was to be in front of people. It strikes me that God is in the habit of giving people his desires that we think are our desires, but they're in fact his desires, to equip us for what he wants us to do in life. We're all missionaries. Gladys Aylward was a missionary to China, but we are all missionaries. We all have a mission mandate. When Gladys left school, there wasn't much work at the time in the day, so she became a parlour maid, a domestic goddess. And so she worked in housekeeping for a number of years. When she was 26, not 28, when she was 26, she went to what she called a religious meeting. And even though she was brought up as a Christian in a Christian home, she went to church and Sunday school, there was a time in her life when, in her own words, she became impatient with everything religious. However, she went to this religious meeting, and there she was impacted again by the claim of God on her life, and she accepted Jesus as her Saviour. Now, typical Gladys Aylward, she went in boots and all. She joined a youth mission society, and while she was a member of this society, she was reading through an article, and the article spoke about the millions and millions of people in China who had never heard the gospel. Well, for Gladys Aylward, this would never do. So she went visiting people saying, "Look, you know, there are the millions in China who are not Christians. We must do something." And it seemed that she encountered this incredible apathy. She then went to her brother, thinking surely that her brother would be willing to support the work of mission to China. And her brother said, "Not me. That's a job for old maids. Why don't you go?" And she responded quite angrily to this response. However, it did impress upon her heart and her mind that here she was trying to get other people to do what she was passionate about. And she wondered whether God was actually calling her. just want to pause at this moment and say that Gladys Aylward is a classic example of the hypocrisy that has permeated the church for generations and generations, where we did send out often single women, sometimes young, sometimes aging, and we may not have called them old maids, but we did send them out to be missionaries, to be pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists. And we were quite happy for them to go cross-cultural ministry, but when they came back into the church, God forbid that they would have any significant role in the life of the church. And there's a hypocrisy that's permeated the church for many generations. But anyway, that's just a side. That's a hobby horse that I'll get off now. So Gladys Aylward was convinced by God that she was to go to China. So the next step was to prepare herself. She enrolled in that mission society, China Inland Mission, in a three-month course. She got to the end of the three-month course and the committee gathered around her and they said this: "You're not well enough educated. You'll never, ever grapple with the Chinese language," even though 2 years later she could speak, write, read Chinese. She even thunk Chinese. She thinked like a Chinese person. But the Mission Society said that you'll never make it. So they dismissed her. However, they did say, "Look, we have a couple of retired missionaries that we would like you to look after." So she did. She kept herself busy despite the setback, and she looked after these retired missionaries, and she was powerfully impacted by the genuine love that these people had for God, not as a distant deity, but as a heavenly Father and as a friend. And she was impacted by their implicit trust in Him for every need that they had. And this was to mark her life and ministry until the day that she died. She trusted God for everything implicitly. She also worked as a rescue sister in the town of Swansea. She went down to the ports and the docks, and she would convince the young women and the ladies at the time who were about to sell themselves into prostitution. She convinced them not to do that. She would go into the pubs and she would redeem, if you like, take out of the pubs the young girls that the sailors had made drunk. And then she would take them back to the hostel, and then on Sundays she would take them to church where they would hear the gospel. We have this dichotomy in evangelical churches. Is it about feeding people? Is it about meeting their felt needs? Is it about preaching the gospel? Well, for Gladys Aylward, it was always both. It was a holistic approach to ministry. So she would meet their needs, but then she would also preach the gospel. In all of this, her desire to go to China was fueled. But however, she was a little bit frustrated by her lack of knowledge of the Bible. So she determined that she would read the Bible intentionally and learn it well. And the first verse that she read with any sense of passion and sense of anointing on her life was Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, where God said to Abraham, "Abraham, leave your country, your people and your father's farm, basically, and go to a land that I will show you." And this impacted her greatly. So she determined this: that if God was calling me to China, then He would provide the way, He would make the way clear, and everything that I need for that journey, God would provide. But I had to be prepared to do what Abraham did, to leave what little security and safety that I had. And that was her determination. So she did. She went to China. She spent over 20 years in China initially. The first year or two, she worked with a Scottish lady called Jeannie Lawson. Jeannie passed away, and then Gladys was on her own, a young woman in China, a foreign nation, foreign people. And there she encountered all sorts of things and did tremendous work for the gospel and changed history. So I want us to consider, as we close this morning, a few qualities that come out of this woman that she demonstrated. And the first is this: that Gladys Aylward was tenacious. in a day when in modern missions we expect a lot of our missionaries. We expect that they will raise all of their own support. Many mission agencies expect that they will raise support. We expect that they will train maybe for 2 to 3 years. We expect that they will pass a psychological test. I'm glad that that's not... I'm glad that test is not backdated on pastors, because I'm not sure that I would pass it at the moment. But we expect so much from our modern-day missionaries, and we put them through so many hoops and processes, and there's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot of good in that. But in a day when that happens, Gladys Arlwood was determined that she would go to China. The mission agency said, no, we will not accept you. So she said, I'm going anyway. So she raised her own funds. £47 it cost her to buy a ticket on the Trans-Siberian Railway from Holland to Vladivostok. Now, the DVD didn't do any justice, really. It said it was quite dangerous for women. That's the biggest understatement. At the time, China and the Soviet Union were at war. So here is little Gladys Arwood standing on the railway station at Liverpool with a gifted suitcase. Someone had given her a suitcase. In this suitcase, she had tins of corned beef, tins of baked beans, tins of sardines, coffee essence. Remember that, some of you? More than I thought would. Showing your age, coffee essence. She had a little spirit stove, a little frying pan, a little billy. She had an army coat. Someone had given her an army coat. And everything that this little diminutive lady had was in the suitcase or hidden in secret pockets in this army coat. And her family waved her goodbye. Liverpool Station. And she caught the train from Holland across to Vladivostok. Now, at the time, because there was a war, the train would stop at the battlefront. There was one time when the conductor came into her cabin and he was gesturing and trying to speak to her in Russian and trying to communicate something to her. She had no idea what it was, you know. Niet, niet, da, da, la, da, neva. I don't know what it was. That's all the Russian I know. Vodka, whatever it was. But the story was this, that you must get off the train. Well, she thought it was just a pantomime. She closed the door and went back to sleep. The train continued. The train stopped for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. She thought, this is a bit strange. She got out of her cabin, walked the length of the train to find she was the only person left on the train. She had to walk from where the train station, where the train had stopped on the battlefront, all the way to a little town called Cheetah. She had to walk in waist-deep snow, carrying this suitcase and this overcoat and her swag, I suppose. And there were times when she was dehydrated in minus 30 degrees temperature. That's an anomaly that we can't quite work out. The Russians also had mistaken her passport. They thought where it said missionary, it actually meant machinist. So they stamped it as a machinist. Her occupation was a machinist. So they, at every turn, they tried to detain her. And if it wasn't for the miraculous intervention of God on a number of occasions, she would never have made it to Vladivostok to catch the ship to take her around to China, to take her to China. She was a tenacious woman. She was a courageous woman. She was creative. When she did arrive at Yuan Chen, she worked with Jeannie Lawson. Now, there was a mismatch, if there ever was one. Gladys Arwood referred to Jeannie Lawson as someone who was old, dour and dogmatic. She was a 73-year-old Scottish lady. She was... Now, I don't know whether there's the English-Scottish tension coming out in that comment, but Mrs. Lawson was dour, old and dogmatic. Gladys was young and adventurous. But in any case, between the two of them, they decided that they would minister to the people in their province, in Yuancheng province, and the way they did it was this. They decided that Mrs. Lawson's accommodation would become an inn. And in China, in provincial China, there were no roads. There were just rough mule tracks. And there were trains of muleteers. So the idea was that the innkeeper would stand out in front of the inn and he would say something like, "No bugs, no fleas, come, come, come." And this is what Mrs. Lawson told Gladys. She said, "Your job will be to stand out at the front, and when the first camel of the train comes, you grab the beast by the head and drag it into the courtyard, and the rest of the train would follow. And you say, 'No bugs, no fleas, come, come, come.'" And Gladys responded with, do mules bite? "Not if you grab them in the right part," came the curt reply. And so this is how they began ministry to the people in China. They started this inn, and the muleteers would spend the night, they would be well fed, and then in the evening they would sit around the campfire and Gladys and Jeannie would tell them gospel stories. And it was here that Gladys learnt gospel stories in Chinese by heart. There was another time, and sadly Mrs. Lawson died after about a year and a half of their time together. And there was an occasion when the mandarin, now the mandarin is not something that you eat, it's a Chinese official. The mandarin came to see Gladys and he said, "Mrs. Alwood, I've come to see you. I need your help. I need your feet. I've come for your feet." And Gladys said, "My feet? And not my head," because someone had told her that if the mandarin ever came to visit Gladys Alwood, he would have her head. And he said, "I've come for your feet." And she said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because you have big feet." And she looked down and she took a size 3. She was astonished that the mandarin thought that she had big feet. And of course, the ancient Chinese tradition of binding the women's feet was still in play. He said, "I've come for your feet. There's been a government decree that from here on in, all women are forbidden to bind their feet." The hitch was this, that men were not allowed to inspect women's feet. So the mandarin needed someone whose feet were unbound, who was a female who could inspect the feet of the women in the province. This was an amazing providential care by God for her, because Mrs. Lawson and Gladys lived from day to day on very little. And so the salary was this, the conditions were this, that the government would provide 2 soldiers, there would be a mule, there would be a measure of millet, and there would be 1 farthing to buy vegetables. That was the conditions. And so Gladys said to the mandarin, "I accept your request for help, but you must know that I have come to this country to preach the gospel of God. And I will take every opportunity in the villages and in the shacks, in the shanties, to preach the gospel to the women." And the mandarin said, "I acquiesce to that. In fact, I think your teaching is good, because the women, when they become Christians, no longer bind their feet." That began a long-standing relationship between Gladys and the mandarin. Years later, the mandarin came to visit her and he said, "I'm leaving the province. They've appointed another mandarin. But before I go, I want you to accept me into your church so that I may worship the God that you worship." And Gladys said, "No, I won't do that, but God will." And before he left that province, that man became a follower of Jesus. Creative ways of sharing the gospel. Thirdly, she was compassionate. You saw on that DVD that there was this time when in war-torn China, China was at war with Japan, that Gladys walked 100 orphans, and one of those orphans was her own. It was who was called Ninepence, She bought her for 9 pence, and she named her 9 pence. And she walked 100 orphans over 100 miles, and it didn't take 12 days, it took 30 days. And at the end of that journey, she was really quite literally dead. She managed to escort her orphans to safety, and then she found herself in hospital, and the doctors and the nurses who attended her all testify to the fact that it was a miracle that she was still alive. They had very little food. Oftentimes they were freezing cold. They walked through enemy territory for nearly 30 days. She escorted those orphans to safety. She was deeply, deeply compassionate. She was obedient. After she recovered from that, she determined that she would go out into some unknown provinces. And so she packed up what little she had and she started walking. From village to village, she managed to secure the help of guides who took her to the next place. After about 5 days of walking into this foreign territory, the people in the village where she had arrived that day said, "You can't go any further." She said, "What? Why can't I go any further? The world doesn't just stop here." So she determined that she would keep on walking. However, there was a doctor in that village. His name was Dr. Huang, and he promised to go with her for 5 days. Well, 5 days turned into 10, and they kept walking, and they kept walking, and eventually they came to the end of their tether and the end of their food. And Gladys was just about to give up, and Dr. Huang, who was a Christian, said, "Why don't we just sit down here and pray?" So they actually kneeled down and they prayed. And they started singing choruses. They hadn't met anyone on the trail for about 2 days. As they're praying and singing choruses and finished that, they saw a speck on the mountainside, and the speck turned out to be a man who turned out to be a Tibetan Lama priest. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the two of them were invited to stay the night in a lamasery. When they arrived in this lamasery, they were treated like royalty. They were given comfortable bedding, good food, and the head of the lamasery said, "We have been waiting and waiting and waiting for someone to come and tell us about the love of God." Let me just read to you the story from her own lips. "When we discussed various things, then greatly daring, I said, 'Why did you let me, a foreign woman, come into your lamasery? Why did you allow me to speak to your priests?'" 500 priests they spoke to for about a week. "It's a long story. On one of our mountainsides grows a licorice herb, which my lamas collect and sell in the cities. One year, the men who had taken the herb harvest down on the mules were passing through a village when they saw a man waving a paper while he called out, 'Who wants one? Salvation free and for nothing. He who believes gets salvation and lives forever. If you want to learn more of this, come to the gospel hall.' The lamas, utterly astounded at such a doctrine, took the tract and brought it back to the lamasery. I was then shown the tract, now worn and in pieces, stuck on the wall. It was a perfectly ordinary tract, simply quoting John 3:16. 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.' That was all. But from it they learned that somewhere there was a God who loved. Everyone read it and reread it, or had it read to them. The head lama continued the story after I read that important scrap of paper. The next year, when our men took the herb down to the cities, they were told to find out where the God who loved lived. But for 5 years they could learn nothing more. Then the man who had first received the tract vowed that he would not come back until he learned more about this God. They went on and on until they came to Len Chau. There they saw an important-looking man on the street and asked their usual question, 'Can you tell us where the God who loves lives?' 'Oh yeah,' he said, 'go down the street and you will come to a large gateway there with three signs over it, faith, hope and charity. Go in there and they will tell you about God.' Jubilantly, they approached the small China Inland Mission station and asked the same question of the Chinese evangelist. He told them all that he could, then gave them a copy of the Gospels. Eagerly, they hurried back to the lamasery, and we read the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We believed all that it contained, though there was much more that we could not understand. But one verse seemed of special importance. Christ had said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." So, obviously, one day someone would come to tell us about this wonderful God. All we had to do was wait. And when God sent a messenger, be ready to receive him. For another 3 years we waited. Then two lamas out on the hillside gathering sticks heard someone singing. "Those are the messengers that we are waiting for," they said. "Only people who know God will sing." And while one went back to tell the rest of us to prepare for the long-expected guests, the other came down to meet you on the hillside. She was a woman of amazing obedience, and that's just one illustration of many incidents in her life where she had the opportunity to share because of simple obedience. She was prayerful. I have a confession to make. I'm not the world's best prayer. Some of you know that. I don't know why it is or what it is, but I do struggle in prayer. But I'm very confronted and very challenged by her prayerful life. Not only that, she was a woman who, when she read the Word of God, she read it, she understood it, and she believed it. There was no double guessing. There was no theological backflips. In simplicity, she read the Word of God, understood it, believed it, and acted on it. And that profound simplicity really impacts my heart. And finally, she was humble. She was a humble lady. Let me just read to you her own quote about her life and mission. She says this, "I wasn't God's first choice for what I've done in China. There was someone else. I don't know who it was, God's first choice. Must have been a man, a wonderful man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he died. Perhaps he wasn't willing, and God looked down and saw Gladys Allward." So there you have it, the life of God's pocket rocket. A small woman in stature, who owned nothing, but who's changed history and has impacted the kingdom of God in ways that we'll only find out one day. So I trust that we can glean something from her life and ministry that's helpful for us in what lies ahead of us. Bless you.